The number one marketing strategy you need in today's business climate is networking. Word of mouth and referral marketing is the most powerful way to grow your business. But for many, just the idea of networking causes anxiety, frustration, and perhaps a little fear. The Once Timid Networker radio show will get you through these networking challenges by providing tips, suggestions, and real-life success stories of other business professionals who got out of their own way and learned to love networking. Now, here's your host, the original Once Timid Networker, Tara Schmeichel.
Well, welcome to the show today. I started actively networking to grow my business about 7 years ago. I knew it was the best way for me to grow my business, but I was very nervous. Since then, I've received so much help, and it's really been able to take me a lot farther. I used to be able to go network, and there would be a pounding in my chest, my palms would sweat, my vision would blur, and my voice quivered, and really, all of the preparation that I had done to become more effective went out the window, and the only thing I was effective with was really making the room cringe when it was my turn to talk. Since then, I've had so much help, and I've had some wonderful mentors, and I decided to watch and study others who I knew were effective networkers. I've learned so much, and I really want to give back. This show is about networking effectively and the stories to prove it works. I'm your host, Tara Schmeichel. I am the Once Timid Networker, and this is my show. My mission is to provide a place to learn from other networkers and to hear their story. And I am thrilled for this venue on the Next Stage Business Radio Station. Today, my guest is Sue Henry. Welcome, Sue.
Oh, well, welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Tara.
Sue, I have known you for quite some time, and I've loved watching the way that you've developed this business model and watching you grow in the social media aspect of your business. Can you tell me a little bit about your business?
Sure. I teach social media for non-techies, and what I call it is social media marketing success in 15 minutes a day for the dazed and confused. So this isn't about technology. It's about relationships online that turn into referrals, business, how you can help other people as well. So, and then I always tell people, set your timer for 15 minutes, because if you don't, it will suck you in.
That is so true, so true. So tell me, Sue, how did you decide to make this part of your business? Or, well, what got you involved in this?
Well, in August, I am a speaker and a writer. That's my profession. And in August of 2008, even though I'd watched The Secret and I'd read these books on affirmations and everything, I kept wishing for social media to go away, and it wouldn't. So I came to the conclusion that I either had to learn social media and how to make it work for my business so I could get more speaking and writing opportunities, or I was going to have to stay home and learn how to milk cows on our organic dairy farm. Didn't take the rocket scientist to figure out which one I wanted to do. Hence, I jumped in with both feet, ordered some products of people I had been following, and worked really hard on all of these different products. I found that everyone had a lot of fluff. Everyone had some really great information. I'm a major tracker. And so what I did was I would do things, I would track, I would tweak, and then all of a sudden I started getting results. And those results started turning into great money because of these social media connections, people I had never met before. And as a result, I was asked through B&I then, because of the results I was getting, to come in and start teaching some social media classes, sharing what I was doing. That has just taken on an entire life of its own.
Well, and I've been to your training, Sue, and they're fantastic. And I've also heard a lot of really good feedback about the trainings that you provide and that people really come away with something. Now, going back to, you know, your beginning here, did you have any obstacles?
Well, I had a few. First of all, because of where I live, I am on dial-up. And, you know, those of you who don't know what that is, that's where, like, your home phone number or your home phone plugs into your computer, and that's how you access the Internet.
Yes. So do you still have dial-up? Are you there? Sue? All right. We seem to be having some technical challenges this morning or today, so I think we may need to reschedule this one and do this again.
Are we here?
Are you there? Are you good?
Will you just shoot me?
Okay. So do you have any other challenges besides dial-up?
The other thing was I'm not a techie. I didn't know anything about computers when they would talk in some of these terms. I didn't have a clue what an HTML and what a URL and all those other things were. And so it was, how do you become successful when you don't even know the language?
Right, right. It is challenging. And especially when you put it into that, into that phraseology, you know, any type of internet stuff, it is a whole other language, and you do have to learn it. And so that can be challenging, or it can be something that can make a person, you know, decide to stop altogether and be too overwhelming. So tell me this, Sue, do you still have dial-up?
I probably would if I hadn't gotten rid of my home phone and just used my cell phone. What I have is my high speed is an air card with 3.5 bars.
Okay, so you are still doing a phenomenal job, even though you have a few challenges. All right, so just so that our listeners know, this is not something that a person with super high-tech stuff has to be able to do. This is something that absolutely anybody can do. So do you have any other challenges?
I think I thought at first that I had to learn all of this techie talk and those types of things in order to move forward. And what I found is that sometimes we think that, and all it does is sidetrack us from what we need to do. The reality is you need to learn just a few basics, like cut and paste. But the real point is going out and creating relationships with people. It's about having a conversation. Social media is a dialogue, not a monologue. And it's about saying things in a way that creates conversation. It's about interacting with others. It's not where you go on one site and you write one profile update and it smatters it to everything. So, yeah, you're on all of them, but you're not relating to anyone. And you know, so I think that it's get out of your own way. You don't have to know that stuff. All you have to do is be open to meeting new people and figuring out how you can help them either because of what you offer or the people you know and how you can introduce them so that they can get what they need and want.
So, I am in complete agreement with you. I have myself had some wonderful dialogues on my social media, and I'm in particularly a fan of Facebook. And so that tends to work the best for me so far. But I am venturing out into some of the other ones. And, you know, I'm hoping I can learn a little bit from you today, too. So tell me, do you have any really cool success stories, Sue?
I've got a few. I've got a few. One of them is I'm in a book that's coming out in the middle or toward the end of this month by a gentleman by the name of Neil Schaefer, and what he did was he had asked for information on people who have had success on LinkedIn. What happened was I got hired to teach at a nonprofit council because of something I had posted on LinkedIn, and it was kind of a, you know, somebody I knew saw it who knew somebody else who referred. It was kind of a long way around, but that was really, really cool because, it goes to show one way that I could teach nonprofits how they could find new donors through online mediums, and that was pretty cool. I have made some incredible friends, and I have learned some great things. So, for instance, I've gotten some wonderful speaking gigs, but sometimes it's the opportunity also to connect people. So about 6 weeks ago, there was a friend of mine, and she, and her name is Nancy, and she, I don't think you know her, but at any rate, I've never met her personally. I only know her online, and she had a need. And she put it out there, and I knew somebody who could help her. So as a result, I was able to connect the two people together, and I said, okay, here's, you know, you guys take it from here, but here's your contact information. Here's why I think that you guys, it would be good for you to know each other. And I didn't hear anything for a little while, but about 2 weeks ago, I got a little note from this Nancy with a $25 Starbucks card in it that said, thank you. It was a wonderful connection, and it was exactly what I needed, and thank you for paying attention enough and being able to help me. So I thought that was really, really cool.
That is really cool, that's really cool. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you ever find that, because I was having a conversation with my friend Steve the other day, and he was saying, you know, what do you think about introducing people via LinkedIn? Would you introduce just anyone, or how, you know, is that, you know, how do you do that, or, you know, would you or wouldn't you? What are your thoughts on that, Sue? Is it, I mean, obviously, I know for you it's about the relationships, but what if it's, you know, I can't imagine that you have a deep relationship with every single one of your contacts. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. There's no way I can do that. But first of all, we need to go back to there's two types of networkers, Tara. There's the strategic, who they're only going to connect with people they already know personally. And then you have open networkers like me, who I'm going to connect with everybody, and that's fine because I know that if they start messing it up, I can delete them with the push of a button. So it's no biggie. But but I think when it comes to introducing people through LinkedIn, there's a lot of people that I have watched what they do, and although I don't personally know them, they have gained trust with me because of the kinds of comments they post or things that I've read that they've written, that type of thing. In that case, yes, I would be comfortable, but in the introduction, I would say, I haven't personally met this person. However, based on what I've seen, I feel very comfortable that they're reputable, and I feel comfortable making this recommendation. If they're just that we're connected and we don't have a relationship, no, I wouldn't do it. But here's the key. You don't want to just ignore it. What I would recommend is you learn how to say your no very nicely. You turn around and you say, you know, I'm not comfortable with that right now since we really haven't built a relationship, but I'm sure you've got many friends who would be more than happy to help you. Have a great day.
Yeah, okay. And that's gracious and at the same time is very, you know, to the point. There's no beating around the bush. And that, frankly, is one of the things I really like about you, Sue. I never wonder what you're thinking. So do you have any other, cool things that have happened? I know you've gotten some really, it seems like I remember you telling me that you had gotten a speaking gig that was a really good type of a referral for you.
I've gotten a number of them. One of them was it was in a town, and it was the Chamber of Commerce and the college got together, and they put on a business. They were going to be having business forums where they were going to be having different classes every month. And they found me on Facebook or on social media, and it was because of them going back and reading the recommendations on LinkedIn that they actually contacted me. I've had opportunities to write and get paid for that, which has been incredible. I'm trying to think of some of the other places that I've gone and I've spoken. I know I've been in Missouri, I've been in Illinois, I've been in Wisconsin, I've been in Minnesota, North Dakota, Colorado, California. So I've gotten a number of them, and it's because of this social media presence. But it's not just that I'm on social media, it's that I blatantly share the results I've gotten, which sets me apart from everybody else who's just out there saying that they're teaching it. Because I teach, because what I do is I say, I teach this, and this is how much I've revenue I've generated. just in people that I've not met yet, because it's at a little over $51,000 since I started this. My first speaking gig was in February of 2009. And so but those are just contacts I've made through social media. It's not anything to do with BNI or other networking events, mm-hmm. anybody I know personally. And I think that's what people need to ask themselves.
Right. So one of the things I just would like to point out is these connections that you've made have not just been local. These have been from all over the country.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's quite a reach and quite an arm. And I know that these aren't people that you've all, you know, that you've met all at one time or another, but it's because of the relationships that you've established and cultivated truly through your social networks. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Most of the time I don't meet the person. Oh, I don't, in any of those cases, I haven't met the person until I got at the airport.
Oh, well, that's always interesting. Well, very cool.
I have them send a picture so I don't look totally stupid, so I can study.
Okay. All right. So then let me ask you this, Sue. Is this something that's hard to do?
No. I'm a grandma. I live in the middle of nowhere. Well, I am. It's not like I'm 20-something and it's programmed into my DNA. I'm a grandma, and when you realize, you know, it can be really hard if you think you have to know how to do all these things and the strategies and you know, I need to know this, and I need to know this, and I need to know not just what it is, but I have to do all this. What I do is I teach people, choose one. Which one do you really want to learn how to use? And focus on that and forget the rest. So if you want to focus on LinkedIn or if you want to focus on Facebook or whatever, or having a blog, focus on one and devote your time. And when you spend 15 minutes a day, it's, you know, you won't just be on social media. Social media will be on you. And you'll start forming those relationships. It will take, it'll remove some of the fear because all of a sudden you're being rewarded by building relationships and getting to know people that you didn't before and delighting and celebrating the things that are happening in their lives as well as, you know, expressing sympathy and caring when maybe their life isn't going so well. So start with one.
Yeah.
And it's a progress. Don't think you have to get from here to Rome. You know, it's not a Concord kind of ride. It's much slower. But when you realize it's a journey and not necessarily the destination, you take some of that pressure off yourself. You know, because I think on social media, you know, have you ever met someone who when you meet them, they're desperate for a sale, and even though they don't say that, they've got commission breath?
It's
the same thing in social media. If you're just dying for a sale and that's why you're building these relationships, people are going to sense that and they're going to be very uncomfortable. You're going to repel them. The goal mm-hmm. is to compel them to want to get to know it, to get to know you,
right.
And business will happen. But it's not a get-rich-quick.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I have to go back to when you said pick one and do it well. I remember going to your classes or one of your classes several years ago when I first got started, and I think I had a few profiles, you know, and I wasn't really doing anything with them. I tend to be that all or nothing person. I got a little overwhelmed with, you know, everything, and, you know, I kind of decided a long time ago that unless I'm going to rock at something, I don't want to do it. And so when you gave me permission to pick one and rock at it, I thought, okay, I can do this, because I was ready to throw in the towel. And, you know, I knew that it was going to be valuable to my business. I just didn't know how to do it because I felt like I was spread too thin. So for a person who feels like they're spread too thin, and I guess this is one thing maybe we can just kind of briefly touch on, is I had decided that I wanted to use Facebook because I thought that that was going to work the best with my business. And I wanted to use it for business and for personal. So that's what worked best for me. And, of course, you know, I was good, and, you know, as far as, you know, what I was aware that everything that I was posting was going to be you know, reflecting on me as a person and as a business person. So, yes, I am selective. But for the person who is wondering where should they go, where should they start? Should they start with, you know, LinkedIn or Twitter or blogging or, you know, Facebook or one of the others? What would you recommend? Is there a formula for that?
I think you have to dig in your heart. What is it you want to accomplish and with whom? So you need to honor the different social media platforms. So on Facebook, it's personal first, and then you build into business. On LinkedIn, it's easier to get the business first, and you won't find very much personal. Now, by personal, I don't mean that I went to the grocery store. Unless you're a personal shopper or a mystery shopper, we don't care. That's not going to do you any favors. But yeah, you're not going to see that type of thing on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is great for finding what I call the golden geese, or those people who can refer business to you, who can be referral partners because you share, you know, you share some of the same target market or your potential clients and customers, you know, that type of thing. So I think, you know, LinkedIn is great for that. It's got some powerful information. The groups are wonderful for building a relationship. But there's a lot less tolerance on LinkedIn for triviality.
Yes, yes.
So,
okay. So
you know, that's one of the differences between LinkedIn and Facebook. LinkedIn is more you're at a business meeting and you're sitting at a table. Even if it's a private meeting, you're getting to know each other. It's still more of a business format. This doesn't mean it gives you the right to go right in and pitch what you're doing because that you can't. That I'm just talking about how you're going to approach it. Facebook is more where you're sitting around a coffee table and just chit-chatting, maybe with coffee or a glass of wine at the end of the day, you know, something of that nature. Twitter is totally different. Twitter is more, it's a broadcast site, and that's a great place to be seen and to, you know, and share information and increase your social media presence and influence. You can find the right people and everything. I mean, can I share an example of how I use Twitter successfully?
Yes, please.
Okay, so there was a gentleman in Rochester that I wanted to get to know, and he was at a business that hire speakers, and I couldn't get past the gatekeeper, and I've been trying for months and months and months, and I just couldn't get past the gatekeeper. So I found him on Twitter, and I started following him on Twitter. Now, I'm really careful what I have sent to my phone for updates, but he's somebody that every time he posted something, I had it sent to my phone. And I found that we had a few things in common. And so every time most of the time when there was something he had in common, he didn't post all the time, but then I could, you know, so if he said that he was busy helping his kids, you know, do such and such, because I got six kids, I could respond back in kind, and it built where we had, it showed we had a common bond.
Okay.
And so he got to know me a little bit, just not personally, but because of what I had said, because I was supporting him, but also adding sincere, authentic information. So we built this kind of Twitter relationship. Well, then he tweeted that he was going to be going to the Chamber event in Rochester. Well, I'm not a member of the Chamber, but I know a lot of people who are. So I asked around, and I found someone who not only was going to the Chamber meeting that night, but actually knew this person and was willing to give me a personal introduction. So I went as his guest, and he took me up and introduced me to the person. We started talking, and then this gentleman says, "You look really familiar." And I said, "Oh, you're so-and-so on Twitter." And he goes, "Yeah." We had to talking about that. And I said, "You know, I'm speaking or whatever." He says, "You know, we bring in speakers like you." Well, we were able to exchange contact information. I was, and instead of going past the gatekeeper, and I was able to get a speaking gig locally. But that was
That's
one
fantastic.
Way on how I used Twitter.
That's very cool. And it just goes to show that you weren't just, you know, going in there and saying, "Hey, I want to speak at your company or, you know, your events." You went in and you established the relationship first. And I think that's one of the keys to any successful networking is the relationship. And I can see with the things that you're saying and with the things that I've observed you do that the relationships are very important to you. And I think that for our listeners who are trying to, you know, cultivate their social media and their social network sites, that's the, one of the most important things to remember is that, that relationship. So let me ask this. You give a little, you know, you talk about doing social media in 15 minutes a day. And I don't want to give away your business or anything like that, but do you have any tips for listeners as far as, you know, a way that a person could be able to accomplish that in just kind of a nutshell? Because I know there's a lot more to it than, you know, a little two-minute dissertation, but is there something that you could give us as a tip that would help us to be able to, you know, pick the one that we're going to go with, and then what do we do next?
So the first thing I would do is make sure that you, your profile shares what it is you do and how you help others, not just the bolts of what you do, but also the benefits and the results others experience because of working with you. You know, okay. Add in your keywords. So the profile, first of all, is really, really important. The second thing I would say is once you've got your profile done, the second thing are those status updates. The status updates should be something that, remember the 7-to-1 rule. 7 times you can talk about anything and then on the 8th time, that's when you can sell. So you don't want to do it more often. So if you've got something that you want to bring people into, or you've got a course or whatever, you need to be careful on how you market that. So there's ways you can manipulate the English language. So, for instance, when I got the speaking gig for nonprofits, I knew that there was a way that nonprofits could use social media and increase donors. And I did a lot of research, and I kind of wrote up a proposal, and I hadn't figured out who to send it to yet, but that was my next step. So on my profile, I put, you know, wrote a proposal for nonprofits and how they could increase online donors and volunteers. That's all I put.
Okay.
I ended up getting a job out of it, so I wasn't pitching what I did, but I was sharing what I did and what the results could be. So that was okay. That wasn't a direct pitch. So that was something I could do in the 7 times. The 8th time would be, you know, I'm looking for nonprofits to promote or to, you know, submit my proposal to. Who would you recommend? But that would be a blatant. So again, so it's honoring what you say in those status updates, but then it's also honoring what other people say in their status updates. The more you interact, and again, it's just kind of glancing at the through the page to the people you're connected to and seeing who has something that pops out that you can make a comment on, not just a mundane, stupid comment. It needs to have, you know, that's really great. Congratulations, that's wonderful. Or can you tell me more about it, you know, or something, you know, or your new baby is beautiful, whatever. But, you know, have it be sincere and authentic in your voice. And I think so when you use your social media, you know, first of all, your profile, and then start using those status updates, then when people see something in your status updates that is interesting to them and they go to your profile to read it, all of a sudden they're going to support each other.
So now, and I love what you're saying, and I want to take a side note from the status updates and ask you your personal opinion. And I believe you and I have talked about this before, and that's why I'm asking you. But I see a lot of people who post things with different sites like Ping or Pixelpipe or there's all kinds of Hootsuite. There's all kinds of different ones like that. What do you think, in your personal opinion, what do you think about, you know, posting like that on a regular basis? I mean, I want to save myself time. Why not just go to Ping, post it to all my sites, and have, you know, the status update, my quote of the week, or, you know, whatever it is that I'm going to do. Is that a good idea? Is that a good time saver for me?
Well, let me, you know, it'll save your time, but is that accomplishing your results? Are you creating a dialogue or a monologue? Remember that on all of these social media sites, when you go into Hootsuite or any of those and you use that, you know, TweetDeck to post your updates, all of the social medias require that if you're posting and it's being fed in, it has to state where it's originating. And so you can't get around that even if you pay for the, you know, the next version up of Hootsuite or something of that nature. That's one of the, you know, that's just one of the things. So I am uncomfortable if all I see is somebody who posts because of Hootsuite or Ping or something like that. Now, if every now and then, you know, maybe once a day they've got something from Ping or, what you know, an aggregator, but then you turn around and they've got other things that they've added on their own that just shows from them and they're interacting with others, that's fine. But I don't. I think that you're, you know, you're just wasting time. I don't think you're going to see results, especially by people who know what's going on. And that's kind of like getting forwards on your email all the time.
Right. I know in the conversation that you and I had had previously about this, and this was a couple of months ago, I like to post questions on Facebook or on Twitter just to see, and sometimes they're random. I just want to see what people think about stuff. And that was one of the things that I had posted was, you know, what do you all think about this? And I remember you very gently emailed me privately in case, you know, and I appreciate about you, Sue, that you always give people their dignity, and so you wouldn't embarrass me in public, and I appreciate that. And you didn't know that I was asking just to get people's thoughts. I'm assuming that you thought I was asking so that I could be able to make better use of my time. But what you said to me was, you know, social media and Facebook especially is about creating relationships, and you want to be careful about always, you know, posting and then not responding, because then it makes it look very one-sided and as if you are, you know, only interested in what you can get out and not interested in the other parties. And that really, it touched a nerve with me because I thought, you know, that's a really good point. And there was a reason I didn't like using those sites, but I couldn't figure out why. And you expressed it perfectly. So thank you.
Are you more aware now when you see people posting things, when you see that?
Absolutely, absolutely. And if there's someone that I don't know and I don't have a relationship with, you know, I usually will just scroll through those, and I don't take time to read them as much as I'd like to, you know, as much as the other ones that are just posted by a person. So, yeah, excellent point, excellent point. So is there any more steps? We talked about our profile being important and our status updates. Is there any other thing besides those, or is that pretty much it in a nutshell for us?
I think the other thing that I really stress to people, and I've written a few articles on this for, you know, the National Networker and things like that, is that there is no such thing as a personal Facebook page. So you need to be really careful. Some people say, well, I just hide everything and you have to be a friend before you can see anything. Now, if you're a really big celebrity, that's fine. However, from most people, if we went in and we saw and we wanted to check you out a little bit to get to know you, before we contacted you about doing business and everything was hidden, what's the first thing most of us are going to think? What are you hiding? So if there's settings on your Facebook are such that if you've got family members or something and you don't want them that stuff to show up on your Facebook page, your regular page, then go ahead and keep it, you know, then you can set settings. But have some stuff on your regular Facebook page. And I'm talking about your personal as well as your fan page. You know, yes, you can, now Facebook has changed, or they changed it some time ago, where you don't have to have a profile in order to do a fan page. But you have to remember that people do business with people they like, know, and trust. And we are cynical, and we are suspicious of companies. So we will go in and look at your social media profiles, and we'll do a search on what people are saying about you before we believe what you were saying about you.
And that's a very good point. And I think that kind of goes back to the, you know, on LinkedIn. And I think that now Facebook is allowing places for testimonials. And because of that, people are going, you know, to find out more about a company. They don't, you know, it used to be that you just look in the yellow pages and, you know, see who had the biggest ad and figured they were the most successful. but now you can actually go in and you can see testimonials. One of the things that I struggled with as a timid networker was asking people for testimonials. I thought, oh, you know, they'll give me one if they think I did a good job and I don't want to be rude and, you know, that kind of a thing. So do you have a tip for asking for a testimonial from people so that you can get them on your LinkedIn site?
Well, first of all, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. So what you have to remember. What you have to remember is that, first of all, they have to be connected to you on LinkedIn. So if you want a testimonial from someone who is, or a recommendation, and they're not connected to you, the first thing you need to do is ask them to connect with you. They may not want to do a profile and all the other stuff, so I teach my students how to get around that by, you know, what to say and everything like that. When you go ahead and you actually request the recommendation, what you want to do is make sure that you ask them to be specific about what you did and the results they experienced. Because just saying that, oh, TAR is great, isn't going to do you any good. But when somebody goes in and say, you know, I talked with Tara, and because of some of the tips, I feel more comfortable, and she taught me how to go in and network so that the next time when I went to a networking event, I was still scared, but at least I knew a few things to do. And once I started doing them, I enjoyed meeting the people, and I forgot to be afraid.
That's true. That is what it is.
But that's going to be a lot more powerful than somebody who just says, oh, yeah, she was great, or she gave me some great ideas. And so the more specific you are in what you ask people to share, don't tell them what you want them to say. If you want them to use a couple of key words, you can say, if possible, I would love it if you can use these keywords, but if not, that's okay.
Okay. So, but if I was afraid to ask for it, I mean, this is becoming something that's very common, is it not?
Yes.
Okay. And I think that you had shared with me once that, you know, the easiest way to ask for a recommendation or a testimonial is to give someone one yourself, you know, give the person that you would like one from, give them one, and then ask if they wouldn't mind giving one to you as well, which, you know, that seems to ease the edge if a person's feeling a little anxiety about asking for a compliment, so to speak. Any other thoughts on that?
Okay, I'm gonna kind of renege on what you just said. I think that here's what I think I said, but obviously I didn't get it across to you very well. If you can, but here's an important distinction. If you can give a recommendation because you've done business with that person, then that's great. But oftentimes we ask for a recommendation where they have used our services, but maybe we haven't necessarily used theirs. And it's really important then that you understand how to ask. And it's all about the words you choose. So what I would do is if it's one side, I mean, if I've done business with them and they've done a great job, I love giving recommendations.
Right.
I don't ask them, and I wouldn't just do it because then I could ask for a recommendation. Because on LinkedIn, when you give when you receive a recommendation, there's something that automatically pops up that says, would you like to return the favor? Well, you can hit yes or no, but I think it's really important that you understand that, you know, thank you for taking my class. I would love to have a recommendation, or you know, have you share a recommendation on my LinkedIn as far as what was the best thing you learned and how are you applying it and the results you've gotten. I appreciate it. Thanks. And what happens then is if they hit ignore, I'm okay with that. But if they add some, but if they bring one, that's lovely. But I know it's a no if I don't ask.
Yes. Okay. And I know what you're talking about too, because I believe when we talked before, it was a mutual type of a thing. So point very well taken, and I hope I think you made that much more clear for any of the listeners as well. So let me ask you this, because you know, I have a couple of other things I want to get to. Have you ever gotten to where you got overwhelmed with this, Sue, and felt like, you know what, this is too much. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm overwhelmed and, you know, maybe a little discouraged or anything like that?
Yes.
Okay.
How did you overcome that?
Okay.
Well, first of all, what I did was I went back to what is my goal, what's my purpose for doing this, and what is the result I want? And how am I doing that? Then I can go back really easily. I mean, I don't know if any of your listeners use Clout. It's Clout.com. And then you can go in and track your social media presence and influence. They kind of have this score kind of thing. But that way I can sit back and say, okay, have I been sucked into all these time traps or this busyness that really isn't leveraging my time and maximizing my opportunities, whether it be for my own business or to be a connector of other people who can benefit. And so I go back to the basics, and then I can see, okay, I've kind of gotten sucked into this, and maybe I've gotten sucked into this. The other thing is as my business has continued to flourish, I have hired a part-time virtual assistant, a VA. And what this person does is, though I still write my own articles and things of that nature, she goes ahead and she does a lot of the marketing and reposting of those and that type of thing. And that's taken care of some of that. But I had to reach a certain level before I could justify, you know, hiring somebody to do that, even part-time.
Yeah, I understand. So one other question that kind of popped up while we were talking is, I've heard some people say, you know, I used to do it really good, and then, you know, I had something that happened in my life, or, you know, I got out of the habit and I haven't done it for a while, and, you know, I don't even know if I should start back up again. I don't know how to start back up. Do you have a tip for that?
Yeah, set your timer for 15 minutes a day and just pick up where you left off. Man, maybe, and this is something that I have seen, is people will go in, especially on Facebook, and say, hey, I haven't been here for a while. Things have, you know, this has gone on in my life, or I've had some other things I've had to deal with, but I'm back. So glad to be here. Or something of that nature. And that lets us know, you know, life happens. Sometimes life's a four-letter word, and we get that.
Right.
But when you don't have to share your details or spill your guts or anything, but then you're going to get a lot of people who say, welcome back, we're so glad. And then you just pick up and move on from there. People are quite forgiving.
Yes, 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 I agree with you. I agree with you completely. Okay, well now because our program is about networking, I would like to ask, what is a good referral for you?
A good referral for me would be, there's two. The first one, first and foremost, is associations or companies, nonprofits, anything of that nature, who bring in speakers and who would like, in their group, would like to learn how to, you know, utilize social media in just 15 minutes a day. I'm a grandma, so I speak plain English. I don't speak jargon, but I always do, and I've got a checklist of the top 10 things that you should do, and where are you doing any of them, and pick where you're at, and then just start working from there, set your timer, and move on. So being able to speak in front of groups would be really a good opportunity for me. And again, I'm not one of these, you know, $15,000, you know, speaking gig,
yeah,
or, you know, or anything like that. And I can work with people because it's really important that they understand how to utilize and maximize social media. The other thing that I've been running into more and more, and I kind of haven't wanted to do this, but I will be offering classes also via social media, and it's all on my Smile system. And so what my Smile program or whatever is it's, you know, it's an acronym, and it stands for strategizing, figuring out, you know, what you want to accomplish. It's meaningful, creating those meaningful relationships. So how do you do that? Inviting and interacting, you know, your golden geese, Meg, you know, all these other kinds of things. How do you make that happen? Leverage. Then how do you start taking all those things that you're doing and leveraging them into maximum results? We're doing social media to make money. That's what most people are doing. Then you need to figure out how to make money, and that's one of the things that I can show you what works and how you can actually profitize your social media presence. And then the third thing is entourage. It's having that group of people that protect you and love you and would do anything for you to hold you there. And then how do you feed them? How do you reward them? in a, you know, and how do you help them so that they can have their own. So those are the things that, I'll be teaching in a 5-week teleseminar that I'll be rolling out in July.
Very cool. And how can a person find that, Sue? Do you have a website that a person can go to?
They do. If you go to, actually what I've done is, I have got a short page on my website, and here's the link. It's I'll send you the link, -31.
Okay.
But what it's kind of complicated, but what it, and I have to figure out how to get it easy. But what it does is that for the first 20 people on this call who contact me, I will give them a free session and a strategy session, and they can choose any of the 5 and smile that they would like to focus that 15 minutes on, and I will help them so that they can just take it to the next level.
All right. And if I'll take that and I'll post that on the Once Tippin Networker Facebook page. And so if you're listening and you want to get to that, go ahead and check there, the Once Tippin Networker on Facebook, and you'll be able to find that and access Sue's Smile program. Thank you so much, Sue. I think we covered so much, and I could still sit and talk with you for hours more, like we tend to do sometimes. But thank you. I really appreciate you coming on my show today.
Well, and thank you for having me, and thank you for being such an influence to help other people who maybe feel timid, don't know how to get out of their own way, and they can watch you, be inspired from you, and learn from you. Thank you for, you know, putting those footprints in the sand so other people can follow you. I appreciate that.
Oh, well, thank you, Sue. I appreciate that, too. I know I did love all the help that I got, and so it's very nice to be able to provide a resource for people who felt the same way that I have felt. So we've learned so much today, and I have a feeling that this will be a program that we listen to again and again. we've learned a couple of different things about how to get started. Pick one, rock at it. Pick one of the sites and rock at it. Create a profile and make sure that you share what you do and the benefits and throw some keywords in there. And then make sure that when we are doing our status updates that we remember that 7-to-1 rule. And then participate in other people's posts and pages as well. We want to have that interaction and, above all, create a relationship. So that is our show today. Thank you all for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen in on our conversation. I hope that you found it a good use of your time. Whatever your reason for networking, we hope that our story today has armed you with a testimonial for networking. Maybe you've picked up some added skills and tips that would help you bridge the gap and make your networking more successful for you. As a once-timid networker, I owe the success I have had to the networking that I've done, the people that I've met, such as Sue, and the skills that I've learned from observing others. And yes, some of you listening today have been a catalyst, and for that, I am so truly grateful. Please tune in again for Budding to Blossoming Networking Stories on the Once Timid Networker radio show. Thank you for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Next Stage Business Radio Network.